Tonight, I'm going to teach a lesson called Helping to Build Builders. Helping to Build Builders. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, it says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." If you'll look back at me, here, one of God's very first commands to man was to reproduce. What was he saying? Be productive. Be productive. I'm going to read some other verses to you. Listen, if you will. God wants us to be reproductive or to reproduce spiritually. One of my favorite verses in the entire Bible is Proverbs 11, verse 30. The Bible says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Notice there, it just didn't say, just go get a piece of fruit to the Christian. It said, go get a tree. Well, a tree is a productive thing. Let me read another verse to you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Now, that's talking about men reaching men. Man was created, and in Genesis 1:28, God immediately said, reproduce. God says, go out and tell people about Christ and produce some trees in your life. Now he says, men, go reach men that can do what needs to be done. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19, we find a verse that our children sing. "I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you," and some of you single girls are going, "Yeah, fishers of men, if you'll follow me." What's he talking about? Being productive. Being productive. Matthew 4:19, "And he said unto them, Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 and 2, it says, "And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly." And what God is promising Abraham is that I'm going to help you to become productive, and you'll be known for being productive, and which is amazing to me. I look throughout the Bible, and I see that God wants Christianity to be productive. God wants Christianity to accomplish. God wants Christianity to conquer territory, and that territory is not land mass, it's people mass. God wants people reached. That's what it's really, really all about. Now, I'll give you a simple truth that you need to understand. Every pastor or leader who successfully builds a ministry comes to the point where it won't grow unless they get help. Never did God intend for the pastor to do it all, which means this: the pastor's then going to have to get help from people to get the job done. That gives us all a chance to serve the Lord. Church leaders, from my perspective, and I think this is right, the church leaders around here are, so you know, they're not really my fishing buddies. You say, well, Brother Owens is close to that one or close to that one. That's not because we go golfing all the time. It's not because we play basketball together and we don't go out and eat at the Waffle House or Waffle House all the time. Do you know what happens? I get church leaders to help get the job done at the church. Sometimes people think, well, yeah, hire an assistant pastor. Why? Because the pastor's lonely. Or I wanted one. I wanted one so I could put it on the church stationery because it looks like you have clout. That's one of the dumbest things in the world I've ever heard. You hire one so they can help you do the work. You pick leaders throughout the church to help get the work done. Now, a little level, a lesson tonight. I've been a little hesitant to teach it, but I think if our church can learn this, some of you will grasp it. Some of you will fall in one category in this sermon, some in another. I wish somebody here would decide that you would like to learn how to become a builder of builders. I wish some of you then would decide that you want to be built. But everybody's going to have to be one of the two. You're either going to have to be a builder of builders, or you're going to have to at least be built. But God is all about going forward in the Christian life. Successful people, those that are most successful people, the most successful people are not just leaders, but they become leaders of leaders. Did you notice that Jesus was not just a king? Do you know what they called him? The king of what? Kings. He was not just a king. He was the king of kings. What is that? That's a leader of leaders, not just a leader. Now, at first glance, everyone would say, I'd like to lead for the cause of Jesus Christ. Well, let me give you a new horizon. How about that we want to learn the right way to be a leader of leaders, not just a leader? We should not just be leaders of followers, but we need to be leaders of leaders. I feel I've not become what I need to become if the leaders under me do not become what they need to become. There's a little more to it. Parents, let me warn you of something. Your job is not just to survive 18 years and get them out of the house. You're to be training your son, sir, how to be a successful father. And you're to be training, mom, your daughter, to be a successful wife. It's not just 18 years of tolerance and put up with it, get them out of the house and get this over with. You're to be leading them to become the leaders of their own home someday. Every boss out there, if he had any sense, he wouldn't just be trying to get what he can out of his employees. He ought to be leading them to become leaders of what needs to be done around the place so you have a perpetual success. I need my followers to grow. And if my followers are not growing, I feel like I'm failing. When I talk about being a builder of builders, I'm talking to Sunday school teachers. Hey, Sunday school teacher, what are you doing in class? So I'm teaching the student to do what? I'm just teaching the lesson. If you ever sat in on one of my Sunday school teachers' meetings, I'm training you to be a leader. I'm just not teaching you material. And so, and we need to glance, maybe become a little more thorough in our thinking. Hey, Sunday school teacher, I hope you're teaching and training me some Sunday school teachers. Hey, bus captain, I hope you're not just captaining the bus, but I hope you're training me some future bus captains. And I'm not talking about that you sat down with them and, you know, taught an 85-point outline. I am talking about, though, everything you do, they're watching and you're training them and they ought to be learning to lead and lead the right way. Hey, the people under you ought to know how to run a bus route by watching how you run a bus route. And the people under you in Sunday school ought to be being trained on how to be a successful Sunday school teacher because they sat under you. Same thing. A youth leader, an assistant pastor, a ministry leader, a parent, a businessman. No business is built strong if the only way anything's ever done and the only way there's ever productivity is the man in charge has to do it all. No, there's the training of leadership within the work. For instance, Moses had a Joshua. Elijah had a Elisha. Paul had a Timothy. Jesus had the 11. The 11 had 120. And I could take you historically and show you, we would mention a great preacher from a generation or two ago, and you'll find out that that preacher had someone that he trained to help get the job done. It's so important. It's so important that we are learning the importance of building builders. I'm going to talk about that for a little while. I'm just going to give some what I call practical principles about building builders. I'm going to suppose there's a few people that this won't mean much to you, and that doesn't upset me. I'll tell you this. Either you're going to want to learn to build builders, or you ought to at least have the desire to be built. But if you'll listen to me a little while, my lesson will tend toward those that want to accomplish, that want to achieve, that don't want to be satisfied with just having been taught something, but they want to take it just a little bit further. They maybe want to influence with what they've taught so that they can teach others. Now, let me tell you all something. We don't pass on to somebody else what we've learned, it'll all die. And America's a mess right now because we have a generation that didn't pass a whole lot on. And now we're floundering for leadership and floundering for an understanding of productivity. But spiritually tonight, I just call the lesson Helping to Build Builders. This lesson is for soul winners. You could be a soul winner, but did you know that we're not just to be soul winners? We're supposed to be training people to be soul winners. You could be a bus captain, but you could help to train bus captains. You could be a teacher or a Sunday school teacher, but wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if there are people coming out of your class with a passion possibly someday to be a Sunday school teacher? You could be a ministry leader that gets the job done, but wouldn't it be great if everybody that were around you were learning exactly how to lead a ministry so that the ministry of the church could be expanded? You would have more capable leadership. You would reach more people and love more people and change more lives. Some, you can do your duty, but could you teach someone to do your duty? Some, you do well at what needs to be done, but have you got to the point where you're influencing people to help them to learn how to do what needs to be done? And though this may sound a little harsh, did you know that you're supposed to learn for the rest of your life, but there was supposed to be a point when you started passing it on to somebody else? I don't think God intended for anybody to do nothing but learn the rest of their lives. They are to learn for the rest of their lives, and there was supposed to be a point when you were supposed to start influencing, and you were supposed to be passing some of it on and teaching and training. So everybody, to some degree, is to be a builder of builders. Now, let me make some statements, and I'll stumble through some of this and see if I can help us. Number one, you should build builders for the sake of the builder, not what you can get out of the builder. You should build builders not for the sake of what you get out of it, but do it for the sake of that person. There's a statement I love. You've heard it before, but it's worth repeating. I don't want here at our church, I don't want to use our people to build this work. I want to use this work to build our people. It's like this. You and I are not to use people so we get something out of them. God uses people so he gets something out of them. But did you know that everything that God uses you to do is very good for you? Very good for you. Productivity is to be a byproduct of your investment in the follower. So when you are given a responsibility, if you think, well, preacher, you gave me a responsibility, and just because you're trying to get something out of me, you have me totally mistaken. I'm not trying to get something out of you. I'm trying to put something in you. You'll have to figure out who this applies to. But I might be able to get somebody better than you to do it. Better attitude, more productivity. But you know what? It's good for you. It's good for you. Now, there is productivity that can come out of it, but if the leader's only reason for giving somebody something is what they can get out of them, I think there's just a little problem with that type of, to me, that type of investment. I should seek out leaders so that they can grow, and then productivity is the result of their growth, but not the main purpose of me helping and training and growing them. So, number one, you should build builders for the sake of the builder, not for what you can get out of the builder. Now, I'll make a statement, it won't matter much to you. If you'll do it for that reason, you will find an element of loyalty that that person will have towards you. But if you do it for what you can get out of them, don't be shocked that there's limited loyalty. Why? They've seen your ulterior motive. They look and say, all you're doing is using me. I owe you nothing. But when you invest in them, whether you get anything out of them or not, you're training them. They'll say, you know, I think I owe you a little debt. You trained me even when I couldn't be productive. Even when you got nothing out of me, I feel like there's an obligation here. So you should build the builder for the sake of the builder, not for what you can get out of the builder. Secondly, it takes builders to train builders. Takes builders to train builders. That means you, a Sunday school teacher, you're going to have a hard time training a person to build a Sunday school class unless you are building your Sunday school class. It takes a builder to build builders. There are people that would like to say, well, let me teach you how to build a church. And I would say, did you? I don't think that's a bad question to ask. Let me tell you what I think. You know what bothers me? It bothers me people that write on the internet or they write for the newspaper. Sports critics who have never picked up a baseball bat can tell a guy how to swing a bat. Someone that couldn't even run a 50-yard dash critiques the one that ran it in a world record. That really, flat out, does not impress me at all. But if you're going to, hey, Dad, you want to train your son to not just get through the 18 years of child rearing, but you want to train him to be a good dad, you know what you need to do? You need to be a good dad. Good dads have the potential of training good dads. And good moms have the potential of training good moms. Good wives have the potential of training good wives. Good Sunday school teachers have the potential of training good Sunday school teachers. So you need to become what you would like for them to be. People don't often listen to folks that do nothing but flop in their field and then stand up and say, let me teach you what I know. We're all going, well, I'm not sure, what do you know? All right. And you'll find this out. It's pretty hard to teach someone beyond your level of experience and success. It's pretty hard to do. Now, if you made $1 million, you might be able to teach me to make $1 million. But in most cases, if you only made 50, you're not going to train me on how to make $1 million if all you make is 50 bucks. So it takes a builder to train builders. And knowing a builder is different than being a builder, and knowing about building is different than actually building. I'm going to ask you a really simple question. Some of you, this will flow off of you like water off a duck's back, but somebody here will probably take it seriously. What have you ever built for God? You say, I've been in the church 40 years. What have you ever built for God? I've heard some great preaching. What have you ever built for God? The average Christian comes in, sits down, becomes a part of the flow of things, but they personally have never built anything for God. You ever built a Sunday school class or a ministry? You ever built a bus route? Have you ever taken one person, got them saved, got them baptized, got them down the aisle, made public their salvation, and helped them to become a successful tithing Christian within the church? You say, I've seen that done. There's a big difference in seeing it done and doing it. So, just a simple question. What have you built for God? So, we're talking about building builders. When you build a builder, you build them so that they become something, not for what you get out of them. Secondly, if you want to build a builder, then you need to be striving to be a builder yourself. It's very hard for you to train somebody to be something that you have no interest or you're not willing to pay the price to become. Thirdly, if a leader wants to build builders, then you have to learn not to be stingy with people. You have to learn not to be stingy with people. I would like to, and these are all leaders already, but may I say, I would like to build some builders right here in our church. But that means that I then have to let some people have some leadership and have some space to run. Brother Young is a good leader. But you know what? I give Brother Young leadership, and I'll say to men in our church, just follow Brother Young. There are some pastors that don't want anybody to follow anybody but the pastor. I don't mind. I want all the leaders I can possibly get in the church, and that's because this isn't my church, it's God's church, and I got to train some people to lead because they're, you know, let's face it, if we're depending on me to run this thing, I'll make a mess of it all. I'm going to have all the help that I can possibly get. So if that's going to be the case, then there's got to be an opportunity where other men can be taught to lead. So if I'm not careful, I could become stingy about the position of leader, and if I become stingy like that, then I can't help to develop other leaders. So I've got to let someone follow the one that's being built. Okay? Brother Ellswick runs a bus route. He would tell you, I want the people that work on his bus route to follow Brother Ellswick as he leads the bus route. Brother Edwards, I want you to run the music program. But I'm glad for people to follow you in the music program. Look, if we're not careful, though, I know churches that are limited, and I'll tell you why they're limited. They're limited because we're not willing to develop other leaders. But to develop other leaders, somebody's got to be willing to give other leaders a chance, which means somebody's going to follow someone other than the pastor who, scripturally, the buck stops here. I understand that, but that's not supposed to limit the fact that you have to have more than one person getting the job done in the church. So those of you that follow Brother Edwards in the music program, I'm glad you do that. I can't be stingy and say everybody in the music program it's me, everything you got to listen to me. Don't listen to him. Now, what good in the world would I do if we would so limit our church if I ran it that way? So what are we doing? If you want to learn to build builders, then you can't be stingy with the people that help them to become a builder. I don't mind. Okay. I'll go back to Brother Ellswick. Brother Ellswick, the teenagers and their parents gave Brother and Mrs. Ellswick a Christmas gift at Christmas. I'm glad. I'm glad they did that. But that didn't bother me at all. If somebody in this church looks at Brother Edwards and says, Brother Edwards, he works with the music here in the church and the choir, and some of the music participants get together and give him a gift, that didn't bother me at all. I want them to be good to you. I want him to be a builder, and if I'm going to build a builder, I can't be stingy with the people. Then I've got to allow people to follow him. Now, he lets me lead him. But you know something? He's doing the right thing with the music program. I'll let him do the right thing. What am I saying? If you want to build a builder, you can't be so stingy that you don't let the builder build. You got to let the people do some following there. Now, Brother Edwards, if it ever gets out of control, you start using the wrong kind of music, I'll clamp down on it. You become disloyal to the church leadership, I'll clamp down on it. But you just do the right thing. I want you to be a builder. Which that means, and you're gonna have a choir that's going to get behind you, and you're gonna have special music and instrumentalists and all of that, and that's all fine with me. I don't mind that at all. So you should build a builder for the sake of the builder, not for what you get out of them. You're gonna have to be a builder if you want to build builders. Then you got to learn not to be stingy, but you've got to let that builder have some space to do their building next. To build builders, You can't fear that follower becoming better than you at something. Or you'll freak out. You'll be so insecure as a leader. All right. Brother Young is heading up our construction project here. He knows more about it than I do. You say that bother you, Pastor? No. No, I just want to get the job done. Brother David Steed helps me with maintenance on our vehicles. Brother Steed, I could change the oil of my car, and if we have a flat tire, Mrs. Owens will change that for us. But the truth is, mechanically, I could not even touch what you know. You are superior to me in that area. Brother Edwards, you are superior to me in the area of music. Brother Young, there's so many things that you can do that I cannot do. But you say, Pastor, is it a good idea for you to stand up and say things like that? It doesn't bother me at all. I want all the strength that he has to go into our ministry, and all the strength that he has to go into our ministry, and all the strength that he has to go into our ministry. You say, doesn't it worry you? Well, you know what? I'm a little bit the jack of all trades and the master of none, but I'm the pastor, so these guys don't scare me. I'm not worried about it. You can see they're dumb in other areas. And so, but honestly, I want to build him. And if I'm going to spend all my time scared to death that one of these guys are going to be superior to me, I'm never going to get them where I want them to be. To build builders, you can't spend all your time afraid of that person. They need a feeling of superiority in some areas. I happen to know the ego of leaders. We build builders for the sake of the work of God. I'm not to try to help build people for my sake. I'm to help build people for the sake of God and for the sake of the church. So you know, Brother Edwards, I don't feel an ounce of competition with you in regard to the music program. None. Brother Young, when you're helping lead our men in this construction project, I don't feel an ounce of jealousy. I don't feel even a touch of any of that. I don't want to feel that. I don't have time for that. I want you to help me lead that, and let's make this thing go. Now, what I'm telling y'all, folks, this is how you grow people, and this is how you grow a church. And I can't do it all myself. Every man can only lead to a certain level with his own potential. And at that point, he either has to help get other people's potential involved, or you limit the work. And I've traveled all over this country, and I've tried to help a lot of pastors. But so many pastors, it's if they can't do it, it's not going to get done, because they're not willing to let somebody else be superior to them or let somebody else lead. They don't want the people to love somebody else. You know what? I want you all to love Brother Nofsinger, and when it's his turn to lead, I want you to follow. And I want you to love Brother Young, and when it's his turn to lead, I want you to follow. I want you to love Brother Edwards, and it's when it's his turn to lead, I want you to follow. I want you to love Brother Steed, and when it's his turn to lead, I want you to follow. And I want you to love Brother Ellswick, and when it's his turn to lead, I want you to follow. You say, but what about you? I'm the pastor, and I'm not worried about any of this. I'll pick people that understand what we're doing, and I want to use them, and I want them to grow, and I want them to become everything that they can become. So I'm not jealous about that at all. I'm not jealous about that. And God help me, I don't want to be jealous about it. So to build builders, you can't spend all your time worrying about, is this person going to exceed me? Are they? Can I tell you something? I hope. I'll just mention, my oldest son has 3 children. You know what I hope? And you know what, Mrs. Owens, you know what I hope? I hope that my oldest son is a 10 times better father than what I've ever been. I hope he is, you know, and the preacher boys that I've trained across this country, you know what I want for every one of them? I want them to build bigger churches than me and know the Bible better than me. That doesn't bother me. That this isn't all about me, and it's not supposed to be all about you. It's not about your vainglory. It's all about Jesus and getting the work done. And somehow we've got to get to the point where we're not worried about somebody being superior to us, but everybody doing everything that they can for the cause of Jesus Christ. It's not a competition. Not a competition. So I said this: you should build a builder for the sake of the builder, not for what you can get out of the builder. Number 2, you have to be a builder to build a builder. I said number 3, builders can't be stingy with their people. They've got to share, because that's what trains the upcoming builder to learn to be a builder. Number 4, to build builders, You can't fear your follower becoming better at something than you. There can't be a competition, number five. I think one of the best ways to build a builder is to give them some space where they can grow and learn to build. It's almost like you give them their own little kingdom. I led in Bible college, and we would give a young man who wanted to go conquer the world for Jesus Christ, we'd give him an area and say, go conquer. Say, how would you do it? Well, we'd give him a bus route, cut him off a chunk of property and say, okay, go build something right out there. Give him a Sunday school class and say, go build that. I think it doesn't hurt that somebody in the church, you know, something I can accept. There are going to be some people in the church that are going to think more highly of one of my builders maybe than me. You say, does that bother you? Not really. You say, why? I just want to get the job done. Somebody comes into this church and say, well, I like Chris Edwards far more than I like you. Fine. They're stupid. But fine. Brother Edwards, as long as you and I stay on the same page, you say, I like him. I'll come to church because of Chris Edwards. Fine, I still get to preach to you. You get to be a part of the church. And we get to go forward. I have no right. I cannot demand for anybody to love me. I can't demand for anybody to like me. And what kind of a relationship would it be if I said to Mrs. Owens, you're going to love me, and I mean it. You're going to love me. Whether you like it or not, this is how it's going to be. And she looks back and she says, okay, I love you. I said, well, that's really fulfilling. But here's what happens. If I will build a builder, you know what will happen? He'll nudge people right back toward me. He'll nudge them right back toward me. See, there's no way this church can get everything done by my leadership alone. So what I'd like to do is teach some other people to lead, and I'll try not to mislead you in how to lead, but if I can teach you to lead, then we've got many strong spiritual leaders so that the church can grow and we can reach more people that way. Next, to build builders, you have to see them for what they are becoming, not what they are. You have to see them for what they are becoming, not for what they are. Be willing to see their future, not just their now. See their potential. Can you look at someone and see potential? Sometimes you say, well, what you see is what you get. Not really. What you see is where they're at now. I am so glad that somebody looked at me as a young preacher and said, I think he's got potential. When they took the first glance at me, they had to think, dumber than a box of rocks. But I think with a little grooming, we could clean him up and maybe make something out of him. I'm glad they took a chance. Now, folks, as you look around the church, you have to understand there's nobody that's a finished product. We've got to look at what they could be. So if you want to build a builder, you have to have enough vision to be able to say, maybe we can get something good out of this in the future. Do you know how many pastors would not buy a building like what we bought because they couldn't get a vision of what could happen here? We didn't just buy this building because it already looked like a church and functioned like a church, because it didn't. But we've seen its potential. And now everybody says, that just looks like it's always been there. I mean, it's just a natural. I had somebody tell me this, said, if you have a piece of land and it does not have a home on it, it's easier to sell a piece of land with a house built on it than to sell a blank piece of land, because the average person has no vision. They need help with the vision. Now, folks, sometimes we take a raw piece of property, a human being, and we start investing in them, and you say, I don't see where this is going. Pastor, I do not see what you see in that person. It may not be where they're at that impresses me, but what impresses me is what I think that they can do somewhere down the line, and you got to start somewhere with everybody. And so what I'm saying is you can't just look at where they are. You look at where you think they could be. So you praise their successes, you grow them, and you help them. I'm going to repeat myself. I said, number one, you build a builder for the sake of the builder, not what you can get out of them. Number two, takes a builder to train a builder. Number three, if you want to train a builder, you can't be stingy with your people. They've got to have a chance to grow. That means you got to push some people over under them and give them a chance to get their feet wet. Number four, to build builders, you can't fear them becoming superior to you. It can't be a competition, or you'll always be holding back and you'll never draw out of them their potential. Number five, to build the builder, it's good to give them something that's theirs so that they can go lead it and make it happen. Number next, to build builders, you have to see them not for what they are at the moment, but for what they could be somewhere down the line. Number seven, when building a builder, you discipline in private and with dignity. When building a builder, you discipline in private and with dignity. Folks, if you ever want to train leaders, you do not rail on them and embarrass them publicly. And if you're a business owner, can I recommend if somebody needs their clock cleaned, you go in the privacy of your office and you clean the clock. But every time you clean your leader's clock in front of all the followers, you just hurt something. I had someone say to me one time, said, "You never gonna get on anybody. You never correct anybody." You'd be shocked. What you mean is I didn't let you see it. I didn't let you watch it. Let me help you at home. Dad climbs all over mom in the presence of the teenager. And then turns to the teenager and said, "You're going to respect your mother and never talk to her like that." You just did. Mom and dad need to have a conversation, go in private, have the conversation. But I wouldn't belittle the other leader in the presence of the follower. You say, "Preacher, you ever correct leaders in our church?" In my own way. I correct them sometimes and they don't even know they're being corrected. 2 weeks later, they go, "Oh, man. Now I see what he was telling me." You don't have to destroy someone's dignity to correct them. You don't have to do that. And if you're wanting to build someone's potential and build a builder and build a leader, you've got to be careful how you handle your communication with them. I don't think that if you're going to build a builder, you always have to force them into the second place of leadership and down a level and push them down and make them look bad in front of everybody. What leaders like that are just scared to death and intimidated. I've through the years, I've had people that say, just stand up there and tell them what you demand. I don't lead like that much. I have a demanding way about me, but leading like that all the time, look, let me explain. Dads, moms, leaders, when you're doing this all the time, "I'm the leader here, I'm the leader here, I'm the leader here, listen to me." You're freaked out. You're wondering if you're the leader here, and the only thing you have left is screaming and yelling that you're the leader here. Leaders don't have to go around all the time saying, "I'm the leader here, I'm the leader here, I'm the leader here." Who are you trying to convince? So, if you want to build a builder, you've got to discipline in private and with dignity. I'll tell you this. If you want to learn something about my leadership, if you're in the church and you have a position of leadership, I give the answer to God for what goes on around here, and I take that pretty seriously. But I will make you a deal. In most cases, if you correct yourself, I won't have to. Self-discipline is a sign of growth. But yeah, you get to the point where the pastor's got to call you in and talk to you. You're just so bullheaded. Now you stand the chance of having grief between you and the leader. But there have been many times people that have been under my leadership, if they do something stupid and they come and say, "Pastor, you know what? I just did this and I shouldn't have and I mishandled this." Do you know that if they self-discipline, why do I have to raise my voice, or why do I have to say, "Go to your room," or "You're grounded," or whatever? I don't have to do that. Why? They self-discipline. The whole issue is not that you get to spank somebody. The whole issue is, do we get the problem fixed so that we can learn from it and go on and succeed? Let me give you a couple more points and we'll be done. When building a builder, have the attitude that they work with you, not for you. That they work with you, not for you. I want to thank all the men in here. Thank you. You call me preacher and you call me pastor and you let me lead. But I never want to make you feel like you're a second-class citizen. I don't want to make you feel that way. The only thing special about me is that God called me to preach, but I didn't have anything in that. And I'm a human being just like you. I have the responsibility of being the pastor. I have the responsibility of leading in the church. But I really feel like this is our church. Not mine. It's God's. Humanly speaking, it's ours. Brother Robert, this is the work of God we get to do together. Brother Daniel, we get to do this together. Brother Jim, Wayne, we get to serve God together. We're doing this together. And you'll build people better that way. Don't look down. I don't think God intended a class system when it comes to this sort of a thing. I happen to believe that it takes a whole lot of people to lead a church. Brother Tyler, you'll get to lead your section. And Brother Andrews, you'll get to lead yours. And as we go right on down the line, Dave, you got an area in the church that you lead. Brother Dave would tell you, he's a bus captain. I hardly ever stick my nose in what he does on his bus route. I trust him. He's doing the right thing. He'd let me correct him if I needed to, but I don't micromanage him. Now, I want him to do it right, and he wants to do it right. But I'm just here to tell you, folks, we get to do this together. And if you keep that attitude, you'll produce productive people. But boy, you get that class attitude where everybody's in second place and you're in first place all the time. It doesn't last. It really doesn't. Let me tell you this. To build builders, here's what you do. Look for loyalty, faithfulness, and character. That's what you're looking for. Loyalty, faithfulness, and character. I believe in recruiting potential, not finished products. Finished products will get you in trouble. So if you already know it all, I get a little worried about that. If you say, "I've got a lot to learn," I like that. "Well, I've been in the church for years." Well, good. "Well, I already know this." You know, sometimes you'll find yourself at a stalemate with me just because you're so bullheaded. I watched a man. He said, I'm going to hire the expert in America for every course taught in my college." And so what did he do? He went all the way around the nation. He found experts in every category, brought them all to his college to teach in his college. The experts took over his college and kicked him out. Scripturally, that was a terrible thing for them to do. And by the way, the college is history now. It used to be one of the prominent Bible colleges in the United States of America. It is virtually non-existent anymore. Why? The experts. I would rather have somebody that's got a good heart and a learning attitude, that doesn't know it all, that will listen, that will follow, and then you help them to learn how to be productive. You say, "Well, I already know it all. I don't need you." Then why didn't God call you to pastor the church? When building a builder, let them succeed. Let them succeed. Every once in a while, can I tell you how I've trained many a soul winner? I can tell you a man today who is a phenomenal soul winner. He's a pastor. He was an 18-year-old boy. And he was not a soul winner. He went soul winning with me. And you know what I did? I talked to the lost person. I showed them that, number one, everyone's a sinner. Number two, there's a penalty for sin. Number three, Jesus paid that penalty. It was a death, burial, and resurrection. Number four, that if you'll pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you, he'll come into your heart and save you and take you to heaven when you die. Would you like to get saved? And they said, yes. I said, my friend here is going to show you how to be saved. Lead him in the prayer. He led him in the prayer. We walked away and I said, you just won them to Christ. He said, I did, didn't I? We went soul winning again. I walked up to someone and said, did you know that you're a sinner? There's a penalty for sin. Jesus paid that penalty. If you ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you, he'll take you to heaven someday when you die. Wouldn't you like to pray and get saved? They said, yes. I said, lead them to Christ. They prayed. I said, you just won them to Christ. He said, I did. He said, I'm getting good at this. Next time we were in a public meeting, I stood up and told everybody about the two people that he won to Christ. You know what? He caught it. He's one of the finest soul-winning pastors in America today, but he needed someone to help him to get the success that he needed. That's all. Parents, that's what you do with your kids. You help them to succeed until they catch on to it. Success to me is not just taught. It's caught. You get in the flow of it. You get in the rhythm of it. And so, look, you take those people that you're trying to grow and you help them to succeed. You help them to get the job done. Did you know, and I hope I can practice this. I want to practice this. I don't care who gets credit. Brother Young, you and the men, you tear into that project. I just want hallway belt. Bus captains, have fun. Go get them. I'll give you all the credit you want. We'll give you trophies. I just want to reach poor kids. Music program, let's have at it. Brother Edwards, I'll put a big picture of you up in the hallway if you want one. I just want good old gospel music that'll change the lives of people. That's all I want. Look, it'd be amazing what we could get done in America if people just didn't want credit. Now, you say, Pastor says, sounds to me like you'll have to be careful. You let all these people lead and all this go on and show no concern about any of it. Oh, I know my duty. I know my responsibility as pastor. I would just recommend that you not misjudge the tenderness for weakness. I'm not afraid to lead. I'm not afraid to tell you when you're right and when you're wrong. But I'll do this. I'm trying not to have an unnecessary fleshly edge on everything that I do. I need your help. Guess what? Jesus said, fellas, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to need some help. And then he got 12 of them together, said, I'm going to need your help when I go. Then could you guys go get some help too? He turned the whole shooting match over to them and then expected that they were reproducing themselves in others. And you and I are saved today because they did what they were left to do. That's why we're saved. We are to be building builders. And every mom here, every dad here, every Sunday school teacher, we've got to be helping to grow other people because we can't do it all ourselves. And if you can do it all yourself, it's too small. It's too small. Every leader ought to feel strapped. Every leader ought to be saying, I just can't get it all done. That means that you're fulfilling your potential at that moment. And then you help others to learn how. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I call it helping to build builders. We ought to be learning to build builders. Moms, dads, ministry leaders. Let's build builders. I certainly hope that everybody in here will look at what you do and not just learn how to do it, but learn how to pass some of it on to somebody else so they can learn how. That makes a church stronger. It gives the church more grit and strength. Who would say, "Preacher, not only do I want to be built, I'd like maybe to influence others so I could help others to grow and others to become productive." My head's bowed, my eyes are closed. Who would raise your hand and say, "God, helping me, I'll learn more about this thing of building myself, but building others"? Would you raise your hand and let God see it? You may put those hands down with your heads bowed, your eyes closed. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Boy, right out of the gate, God said, go become productive. Go tell people about Jesus. Go teach men to do what I've taught you. Become a fisher of men. God said to Abraham, I'm going to multiply you exceedingly. What do? You don't build the builder for what you can get out of them. You build the builder for what you can put into them. If you want to build a builder, you've got to be building. It's experience that you'll pass on. You can't be stingy. You got to spread out the responsibility. Let some people follow. You can't fear that they're going to get better at something than you. If you want to build them, let them have some space. Let them have some success. Give them an area that belongs to them and let them run with it. To build builders, you have to be able to see what they can become, not just what they are. If you want to build a builder, you want to groom a leader, you must discipline privately and with justice and dignity. You want to build a builder, you've got to understand they don't work for you, they work with you. You're looking for basic qualities. You're looking for faithfulness and character and loyalty. You help them succeed, then give them credit for the success that you help them to achieve. Some dad here, you'd like to see your boy build a business. Teaching the things that make a business grow, then help him to succeed. Then step away, let him stand on his own two feet. You'd be shocked.